My daughter talking about refinancing her house when she did her addition. Well, in the process, our mortgage company called us and said, Danny, we have a deal going on. And so I said, okay, if you don't raise my interest rate above 4%, I'll do it. And they said, okay, because I have a fantastic mortgage rate. But I also had PMI insurance on my loan, because when I remodeled, it cost me a whole bunch more than I thought it was going to. And so I had to wrap more finances into it. But in this process, I've gotten rid of the PMI insurance. My interest rate is less than 4%, and I got money back. So that most of the time when Christmas comes around, I'm going, oh Lord, where's this all coming from? But you know what? This year it's been a lot different. And so God is really blessed. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he knows how to do it. And we are a blessed people. And we live underneath an open heaven. And that's been prophesied about this house. That we live under an open heaven. And God chooses. He chooses to bless us. And so this morning, as you bring your tithes and offerings, remember what our God has done for us. That we are blessed. Pastor Jeff, will you bring a basket, please? Let's pray. And if you have your offering, raise it to God. Father God, this morning we thank you. We thank you for pouring out your blessings on us. And Father, this morning we bring to you our tithes and our offerings. Because Father, we know that it's all yours anyway. And say, all we're doing is just bringing back our tithes and our offerings. And so this morning, we want to praise you in our tithes and our offerings. Amen. You may bring your tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. Thank you, kids. It's always fun when the kids are here. It's always fun when the kids are here, because you know what? They like to give. That's the way that we should be. That we should be as joyful as the kids when we're giving our tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. I'm not sure what we're doing yet. So, Tom? Oh, before I do that, every year we have a New Year's Eve party here at the church. Whoop, whoop. And we have fun, we have food and fellowship, and sometimes we have dancing and games and the word. And so it's going to start at 7 o'clock. The 31st, that's right, Abigail. 7 o'clock, and it will go until midnight, 1 o'clock, whenever everybody gets tired and wants to go home. Okay? So we want everybody to come, okay? If the families will bring finger food or hors d'oeuvres or that sort of things to share, that would be fantastic. Hors d'oeuvres are like celery and carrots and that sort of stuff. Hallelujah. So I think that that's the only announcement. If you check the new app or check Facebook, there will be posts this coming week talking about the New Year's Eve party. So, Tom?
Now, that was self-serving. I was clapping for myself to get it going. Huh? Oh, I was clapping for... Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, good job, Danny. Yeah! Wow, kids, you did an amazing job. That was fantastic on the drumming. I got to tell you, sometimes when we try to do things and I start for the first time, you kind of wonder what's going to happen. But you guys came out wonderfully. You guys played so good. So I'm so proud of you guys. Wow, that was fun.
Hey, Dave, there's two more chairs.
Wow, Merry Christmas. I want to talk about... We were talking about Jesus, and I want to talk about baby Jesus and why Jesus came. You know, I was ministering in the tent. We had a wonderful opportunity this summer at the fair. Who loves the fair? Woohoo! We had an opportunity at the fair to have a prayer tent and ministry in the tent. And I remember visiting with some kids, and they don't know why Jesus did what he did. And they don't know why Jesus was here. Can you believe that? Who here knows why Jesus was here? You guys know why Jesus came? What was that, Aiden? Why did Jesus come here? I know, right? It's a kind of a complicated question sometimes. We know we celebrate baby Jesus, that Jesus was born, and we understand, but why did he have to come here? Oh, Q&A. Yes, did you tell her? All right, Aiden, go ahead and say it.
Because we wouldn't be here.
Because we wouldn't be here if Jesus didn't die on the cross or didn't come. You know what he, right? That's true. But why did Jesus have to come? Should we talk about that a little bit? I think it's a wonderful story. When Jesus was here, he met a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up tree for the Lord. Who knows this? Sycamore tree. Yes. Okay, so Zacchaeus got in there, and he wanted to see Jesus. Now, what? Because that's what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, right? And he's, hi, Jesus. Jesus, I want to see you. I want to see who Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus wasn't a very popular man. Zacchaeus was short. Do you know what else Zacchaeus did? He was a tax. How many people like the IRS? You don't know yet. You haven't experienced. No. Zacchaeus was a little man, and he wasn't popular, and he had a bad reputation from taking advantage of people. So he was known by his physical appearance as being short. He was known by his occupation, and he was known by his character and his stature and his financial position. But our Father God in heaven knows us differently. And this is what we've been talking about. We've been talking about that we are different when we become born again. When I become born again, I become a... Was that you? What do you become?
Child of God.
Child of God. So God sees us differently. So when Zacchaeus was up there and Jesus saw him, you be Jesus, Jesus said what to him? That's right. He said, Zacchaeus, you come down because I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to go to your house. And the people were like, you can't go to his house. You can't go to his house because of the way they saw him. Now, I want to tell you something. This is what Jesus said. And if you go into Luke 19, verses 9 through 10, it said, Jesus said to them, today salvation has come to this house. This is Zacchaeus' house. Because he also is a son of Abraham. What he was just saying there is he wasn't legally a son of Abraham, But he was going to become legally a son of Abraham because of what Jesus did. Because salvation has come to his house. He is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost. This is what Jesus came. Jesus came to seek and to save what was, say, lost. Jesus came to save what was lost. What do you think they lost? What did we lose? This is important because this is why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. All right. You guys remember the chairs? Chair number one. Chair number one is who you are, who God made you to be, who you are in his kingdom. This is Adam and Eve before everything. This is who you are. Chair number two. Chair number two is when you're born again, but you don't know who you are or what you are. Right? You think, well, I'm just saved, going to heaven, just fire insurance and all that stuff. But you don't understand who you are. Chair number three is the world. You guys remember now? Some reviews, well, this isn't for kids. This is for the adult kids. This was their lesson. So this is what they were taught back when Leif came. Leif, excuse me. So anyway, so chair number one is when you know who you are. Chair number two is you got Jesus, but you don't know what that means, right? And chair number three is the influence of the world. So Jesus came to save and to seek that which was lost. How many people here know the story of Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, right? Okay, the story of Adam and Eve, okay? I'm going to talk about, can we talk about serpents? You guys like snakes? In Genesis 3, 1 through 11, there was a snake. And do you guess what the snake represents? Yes, the devil. There was a serpent who was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? You remember this? The snake, is he going to try to trick Eve? Yeah. Just watch what happens. Well, of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It is the only fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat, God said. You must not eat it or ever touch it. And if you do, you will die. Yeah, that's right. He said, God said you would die. You won't die, the serpent replied. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Do you guys remember what the tree was called? The tree of the... No, this is not the tree of spirit. Come on, parents. What was the tree? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? That was the tree that we're going to eat from. They each of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So this is Adam and Eve. So God knows when your eyes will be open. The woman was convinced. Uh-oh. She saw the tree and was so beautiful and its fruit looked so delicious. Who here loves delicious fruit? Maybe. And she wanted it and the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of it and ate it. And then she gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were open and suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. They were naked. So something happened right away when they ate the fruit. What happened right away? They saw something, right? Now, they always were naked, but why all of a sudden they saw themselves? And remember, they ate the tree of knowledge, right, of good and evil. So immediately when they ate the fruit, right, they were here. Uh-oh. Their eyes were open to what? The knowledge of good things and bad things. And guess how they saw themselves? Well, they were naked, but they were naked before. Was there anything wrong with them being naked? That sounds weird. It is kind of, sorry. Yeah, you're right. But things have changed. You're right. Sorry. But they saw that nothing had changed. They were good before, but they saw themselves here and they felt, what did they feel? They felt ashamed. Well, what changed? What changed? Did God say something was wrong with them? No. Did God say, no, did they die right away? No. What changed? The devil said their eyes would be opened. Were their eyes opened? They were. Guess what they were open to? Good things and bad things. And right away, when they ate of the fruit, they looked at themselves and they thought what? Good or bad? Bad. Right away, they thought bad. Immediately when they ate it, they thought bad. Now, did God think they were bad? No. This is where God always, always sees you. But because of what they believed, they became here. And in fact, it was a very damaging thing because the power of what you believe is going to affect who you are. That's the power of belief. So once they knew good things and bad things, it's like bad things could scare us because of what we believe. Scary movies. When I was a kid, I watched scary movies. And do you know what I believed? That they were real and they were going to get me. And that made me very afraid. But was that true? No, it wasn't true. But I had knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So immediately when Adam and Eve ate of that, their eyes were open. Okay? So then, guess what? She gave some to her husband, and then they felt shame, okay? So they sewed fig leaves, and they covered themselves up. And then when the cool evening breeze were blowing, the man and his wife heard God walking in the garden. Do you know what they did when they heard God coming? They hid. Why would they hide? Because of the way they felt about themselves. It wasn't God that was mad at them. It wasn't God that was going to hurt them. But they were afraid because God was going to see them. And they saw themselves because they did something wrong. And they were afraid. Remember, he came to save what was lost. So they walked and they hid from the Lord. Then God called them and said, "Where are you?" Now, God knows where they are. God knows everything. I know where Lucas is. I know where Dom is. But why would he say, "Where are you?" Something had happened from here to here. From here to here, me and God are close and we have a relationship. But when I move, something happens the way I see God because of the way I see myself. And something breaks in our relationship with God. I can't go to church. I'm a bad person, right? I can't pray. You don't understand the way what I've been through, right? When you get older, you got these crazy thoughts. I'm a bad kid because of the way I've been treated. Or I have these negative thoughts. Because of that, something has happened in a relationship. And God was saying, what has happened to our relationship? I like to have a relationship with my son, right? Right? But when my son does something, can I share this story? Okay, we can't share it. We better not. Yay, story with Lucas every day. Okay, can we share the story? Oh, he nodded, yes. So my son Lucas was about 4 years old, and I've shared this story before, but I'll share it again. And he thought one day that he was an artiste. And he thought one day that the walls were the canvas. And he was downstairs in one of the rooms, and he had taken a marker, and he drew all over the walls. And I was walking down with my son. And could you walk with me for a second? And I was walking downstairs with my son. I love my son. I love you, son. You're such a wonderful son. And then there was the doorway into the room, and I turned and I looked, and I go, and then I turned and I looked, and what did you do? What did you do? You remember?
You ran. Yeah, you did. Run, run.
And he yelled. He yelled, do you remember what you yelled? I hate this part. He said, I hate this part. You know what part that was going to be? A spanking on his butt. You may sit down. Thank you. Go ahead. But when he realized, right, immediately he ran away from me. And this is the killer part of it. Immediately when we know knowledge is good, we run away from God. We have nothing to do with God because of the way we think of ourselves, the perception, and that broke God's heart. God said, you know what? That's what we lost. The thing that we lost at the Garden of Eden that is so damaging is my identity, my purpose, my calling, who he made me to be. I forgot. And when I do something wrong, it's not God, it's the Son. The son says, I have jeopardized my relationship. I have jeopardized, and now it's time for punishment. So I don't want to go to church because they're going to tell me all the things I'm going to do wrong and everything that I did wrong, and I'm going to get a bunch of spankings. But you know what Jesus did? You know what Jesus did? You guys know what Jesus did? You know what Jesus did? He took all your spankings. The Bible said that the iniquity of all of us was laid on Jesus. That all the punishment was laid on Jesus. Jesus, do you think God's going to wants to punish you anymore? No, he's not after your punishment. Rather, this is what God's doing. We might be sitting here and worried. Remember, the foundation of this is fear, worry. When I'm feared and worried, I know right away where I'm sitting. It's not when we become, I'm not talking about being born again and receiving Jesus. I'm talking about something else because I know you kids know the Lord. I'm talking about when you're sitting at home and you're scared and you're worried about monsters or things that you've seen on TV or how a parent's or family situation. When you're sitting here, God's not angry or mad at you or wanting to punish you because you had a bad thought or watched something bad or did something bad because he said Jesus took that. Rather or not, he wants to pick you up and take you and say, this is who you are. You are my child. You are my beloved. You are the one who's going to take people by the hand and bring them to the Lord. You are the one who's going to go, and I want to send you on missions, and I want you to touch nations and people. You're going to go with your uncle to places and things. You're the one who's like a rainbow of joy. I see many, many different colors. You are the one who has a heart of gold and that everybody a gatherer and one who loves people. You are the one. What's his word? You will have dominion. That's exactly the way Adam was. So when we get these words with your kids, this is who they are. You notice I didn't say anything negative about them? Nothing at all. Jesus come to restore and save that which was lost. I want to show you a video. And there's a name. There's a name that Jesus goes by. And you're going to catch this name. But when Jesus was sent, he was given a name of who he was going to be. Right? So we're going to watch this short cartoon video, which is kind of neat, I think. And he shares about before Jesus came, the angels came, and he said, this is who's going to come. Okay? So let's watch this video. I know you guys like cartoons, and I do too. His name? Yes. Which means?
God is with us.
Wow. God is with you, with us. This means he's with Marky. He's with Jalen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He loved you so much because he loves you, that even though you didn't know him, even maybe you were in the world and you didn't even know him, you hadn't even received him yet, he sent him. He said, Emmanuel, God is with us. In that scripture, it also gives another name, Savior. You ever hear Savior referred to Jesus? In this town of Bethlehem, there is a Savior. You know what a Savior is? Someone who saves. So if I'm here, do I need saving? If I don't know anything, do I need help? Does God want to help me? Absolutely, God wants to help me. He wants to show me the truth of his word. How about even here? Does God want to help me? Does God still want, when I'm afraid or worried about something, does God want to help me? Yes. When I'm grumpy, God wants to help me. I belong here, right? And when I'm sitting here, guess, remember what Lay said? When I'm sitting here, I influence here. But if I'm sitting here, you know what influences me? That influences me, right? Scary movies influence me. Fear influences me. But when I'm over here, I influence that. Messiah. He says, a Messiah. They said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy. Say, great joy.
Great joy
to all people. The Savior. Yes, the Messiah. And I said this to Lucas. I said, the Messiah. And Lucas said to me, I'm not picking on you, man. I'm just saying this is what we do. The Messiah. And Lucas looked at me and he said, what is a Messiah? I looked it up. I said, the promised deliverer. Because he's a way maker. Promise keeper. That's who God is, right? You guys remember? Waymaker, promise keeper. He says, I'm sending you. I am delivering a promise to you. A leader or a savior of a particular group or cause. The Messiah means a way maker, and a promise has been delivered. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, right? We celebrate Christmas with great joy because a savior, a deliverer, which means whether I'm here, or I could be here, whether I'm in fear, doubt, or worry, when I'm not sure about my life, my God is not here to impugn or condemn me, but rather or not, he's about to call me up to hear and say, you are my child, you are my daughter, my well-beloved son and daughter. Lucas, why did you do that? I don't say that, Lucas, you're my son. And you always be my son. Hakuna Matata. Right? Simba. You guys remember this? Why did he get afraid? Why was he scared? He's a king. He's the next lot. He's to be king. He said, I'm a king. But something happened, right? He got scared when his dad died. And when his dad died and he was sitting there, a voice came to him and said, what? What did he say? Shh, Briss, Abigail, go ahead. Nice and loud, Abigail. What have you done, Simba? You killed your dad. Right? What is your mom and dad going to think? And immediately they put that false thing in his head. And he was he afraid? Was he afraid? And what did Scar say to him? What did Scar tell him to do?
Run away!
Run away! And did Simba run away? He ran away. He ran away from what belonged to him because of who he was. He ran away, and what did he do? Hakuna Matata. What does Hakuna Matata? What a wonderful phrase. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's a problem-free philosophy. Wow. If I was going to entitle this message, which I will in closing, that means we got another half hour for you new people. No, I'm just kidding. I would entitle this as the gift that keeps on giving. Because no matter where you've gone, no matter how far you think or whatever you think of yourself in the second, or if you never received Christ as your Lord Savior, the gift that Christ paid and he gave us on Christmas will continue give us and continue seek to bring us back to the first chair and restore us to first things. He will keep on keeping on giving, 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 because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you, because he
loves you.
Got it. Awesome. Jamie, would you please come? I want you to sing for me. You know what I think I want to sing? Something happy. I wish we had a happy song. Jingle bells. Should we sing? We can sing Happy Day, or you got a happy song that you want to sing? Should we sing Happy Day? Yes, we're going to sing Happy Day. All right, come on up here. Let's have the worship team come up back for Happy Day. Let's go out on a happy note. We want to thank the visitors for Christmas. We hope you've had a blessed Christmas. We want to thank your families. Let's bless your families. As Danny was saying, have a wonderful Christmas. Have a joyful Christmas. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate the Lord Savior in our joy, in our happiness, and in our song. And even when we open presents, let's remember the gift that keeps on giving. You guys get some flags and we'll celebrate. As we sing this song, you guys are welcome to be dismissed, and we'll go out singing with joy. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, Community Church.